Good morning. I'm so happy you're all here today. So, thank you for having me too. I can remember when I was younger, my dad would take me, my sister, and my older brother fishing. Who likes to go fishing? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Well, my favorite part about fishing was the trip to Dunkin' Donuts before we got to the lake. Now, we didn't get Dunkin' Donuts all the time, but I just absolutely loved going there. And I would get the mini munchkins, I would get my little hot chocolate, and we would hop in the car and drive and head to the lake. As we got there, we would set up all of our stuff, all of our fishing equipment and our chairs, and we would just get excited about throwing in our poles and hopefully at least catching one little fish. After getting our bobbers on and our little worms, we'd cast out our poles, and then it came the waiting time. And we would wait and wait and wait just for a little fish to nibble at the worm. I don't know about you, but I had a hard time waiting, especially when I was younger, and I still, to this day, have a hard time waiting. Do you have a hard time waiting? Yeah. And waiting, for me at least, waiting for the fish to bite or waiting for my favorite magazine to come in the mail. Maybe you're like me as well, waiting for God to, like, make a move in your life. That's a struggle for me, waiting for God. Waiting for God to answer a prayer request that I've been praying for a long time. Waiting can be difficult. But the Bible teaches us that if we trust in God, He will delight ourselves. He will delight in us if we delight in Him. We have to give over ourselves to Him, and He will answer our prayers. And so today we're going to learn that waiting for God is worth the wait. So if you can, we're going to turn to our Bibles. I don't know if we can. Hey, Scott, can you do some Bible-ness over here for us? It's not up there. Oh, heavens. Well, does anybody have their Bibles? I hope so. I got mine. Yeah, get your app out. Okay, and I'll read it to you, obviously. So we're in Psalms chapter 37, if you have your Bibles. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 7. So I'll give you a minute to get there. Psalms 37, verses 3 through 7. And it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for surrounding yourself among us. Lord, thank you so much for the word that we're able to open up the Bible at any point that we want and to be able to just consume your goodness. Lord, I pray that during this time this morning that you will open up our hearts and our minds to these scriptures that were just read, that we may be enlightened even more, Lord, and more magnified about how great you are. Lord, I pray that all the words and everything that is being said today, Lord, I pray that it's your words and your words alone. Use me as your vessel, Lord, this morning, and help us understand and bring and shine light more on how waiting for you is worth the wait. And Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Psalms 37 teaches us that we are to trust in God, to take delight in Him, and to give over everything to our Father. And it tells us that we need to wait patiently. And actually, it tells us that we need to wait very patiently for him. Patiently? I don't know about you, but patiently waiting as a young girl, waiting for a fish to bite that little worm, that was a really hard thing to do, patiently. Me and my siblings would do a whole lot of other things during that time. We would play tag, look for frogs, and one of my favorite things to do with my siblings, we would pick up sticks and pretend that we were knights in some type of sword fight. Patiently was not something that I did very well. Waiting in general was always a hard thing for me to do, even to this day. David writes in the Psalms to encourage its readers, to encourage us to wait patiently for the Lord. This passage shines on how a righteous person waits versus a wicked person. David begins with trusting and how we need to trust in the Lord. He actually talks about trusting twice in this passage. We are called to trust in God as we wait. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Proverbs 28, verse 25 says, "The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper." Again, we are called to trust in the Lord as we wait. Our confidence needs to be strong and secure. My confidence was not strong and secure as I waited for this fish to bite at all. I didn't fully believe that the Lord was going to give me this fish. And of course, I wanted always the big one. And so it was very hard for me to wait. I was not good at it at all. And that's why I played and I fooled around. But David in the Psalms knew that waiting for God is worth the wait. David knew that people can be unfair and friends may desert us, but we can trust God. And knowing God intimately drives away that doubt, the fear, and the loneliness. Waiting for God is worth the wait. Going back to verse 4. It says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Desires. Delight. When we delight in someone, maybe a spouse or a parent or maybe your child or a friend that you may have, when you delight in someone, you spend time with them. You do things together. Your relationship is very close. And so when David is writing this in Psalms and that we need to take delight in the Lord, we also too need to draw close to the Lord. This means that not only do we need to spend time with him, but quality time with him. Our goal is to get to know the Father better, to build our relationship and have it stronger. If it's safe to say, too, that when we delight in the Lord, what he has for us and what he wants for us will be aligned. Ourselves will be aligned with him, with his desires. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. David then jumps right into verse 5 with the word committing. Committing ourselves to the Father means to entrust in him with everything that we have and everything that we do. In Hebrew, the word commit actually means to roll or to roll away. And so David talks about committing ourselves, and he means to, we need to be rolling ourselves, rolling our possessions, our families, our jobs to him, and trusting that the Lord is going to take care of each situation, each thing. By us committing ourselves to him, we are showing him that we trust in him And by waiting patiently for him to work things out in our lives shows him that we are trusting in his plan fully. So, why is waiting for the Lord worth the wait? And I believe that there's three things. I think that if we actually waited for the Lord with our whole hearts, that three things would happen. One, I think our prayers would be bolder and deeper, that our trust in the Lord would be stronger. And I also believe that our hearts would delight in the Lord, not because it's our duty, but because it's a privilege. Next time when you're struggling with waiting, ask yourselves these questions. How good am I waiting? How good am I waiting for God to answer the desires of my heart? How good am I waiting for God to get me into the right relationship? How good am I waiting for the right job or the perfect house to fit my needs? How good am I waiting for God to heal a sick friend or a family member? How good am I waiting for God to intervene in a broken marriage? How good am I waiting for God to intervene in someone who is an unbeliever who you completely care about and love? How good am I waiting? In all situations, waiting for God is worth the wait. It is worth the wait. 17 years ago, I began praying for my father, a man who I absolutely adore and love. I began praying for him because he was an alcoholic, drank every night. My father was and still is a fantastic father. And I don't know about you guys, but I know that I am number one person of a daddy's girl. Like, if you look it up in a dictionary, my picture would be right there. I am the ultimate daddy's girl. I love my father dearly. My father would take care of everything. He would go to work. He was a hard worker, provided for our family, always went to my sports games and all my band concerts. He always took care of my car problems and had a tendency to always slip me a $20 bill when I needed it. But the one flaw that I always had and I always saw is I hated watching him drink when he came home from work. I knew that God was the only one that was going to take care of this and to help him. Considering that I had a hard time waiting on the Lord, especially at the age of 14, I would get angry and I would get frustrated. And I'm sure you can have seen that in your own life, getting angry and frustrated when God doesn't answer something. And at times I actually would stop praying. I would completely give up because I really felt that God really didn't care. He didn't want to help me. I felt alone. I felt like he was ignoring me. I might not have prayed every night during those years, but I knew that God knew the desires of my heart. I knew that the Father knew that Jamie wanted her daddy to get well. I knew that. 8 years ago, my father did get help, and he is strong and secure in his journey of sobriety, and I'm so very proud of him. God didn't answer my prayers when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, even when I was 20, 21. He didn't answer my prayers right away. He didn't give me the desires of my heart until 9 years passed, 9 years of waiting. Looking back at those 9 years, I'm not sure if I really would have appreciated my father getting better as much as I do now. I can look at my family and I can look at my father interacting with my nieces and my nephews, and I am just so thankful that my dad got help 8 years ago and not 17 years ago. I'm able to see that he was ready 8 years ago. And if he did get help 17 years ago, there could have been a possibility of him falling off the road. And so I am so thankful that the Lord gave him the strength to do what he needed to do. And I know that waiting for my dad to become sober was 100% worth the wait. Can you imagine, church, if our lives, if we actually believed that waiting for the Lord was worth the wait, if we lived our lives as if we knew? Again, I think three things would happen. I think our prayers would be bolder and deeper. I think our trust in the Lord would be completely stronger. And I think that our hearts would delight in the Lord, not because it's our duty as Christians, but because it's a privilege as a child of God. Can you imagine if we lived our lives and believed that waiting for the Lord was worth the wait? Our lives would be completely transformed. The world wants us to worry. It wants us to get angry and it wants us to get frustrated. Especially when we don't get what we want, when we want it. But David tells us in verse 7, it says, "Do not fret when people succeed in their wicked ways." People are going to. And we're going to get upset and frustrated, but David tells us, don't fret about it. The Lord is worth the wait. His timing is perfect. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." Even Paul knew in Romans, that God is good, acceptable, and perfect. God not answering my prayer 17 years ago, it did not feel good. It wasn't acceptable in my eyes, and it definitely did not feel perfect. But I can tell you, looking back now, God is worth the wait because he is good, acceptable, and he is perfect. So in all situations, church, waiting for God is worth the wait. Amen.